In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Blessed Virgin Mary hastens to the hill country of Judah. The angel Gabriel had told her that Elizabeth, who was advanced in years, was also pregnant and now in her sixth month. So Mary goes to rejoice with Elizabeth. Mary goes to serve Elizabeth in humility. At the end of that reading, we hear Mary staying 3 months. Probably she stayed till John the Baptist was born. But Scripture says the older must serve the younger, so Esau must serve Jacob. Elizabeth must sing of Mary, and John must point to Jesus. We call this day the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but the incarnate God is really the center of this story. God is the one who has visited his people, not in a burning bush, a pillar of cloud, or a golden ark, but in the womb of a blessed virgin. He is flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. The divine is not converted into the humanity, but rather the humanity is taken up into the Godhead. He who lives outside of time and space and matter, in time, has taken up a particular space, the womb of a virgin, with the matter of his body. God has become part of his creation. God has visited to redeem his creation. So sing to the Lord a new song, for the woman is pregnant with God himself. And John the Baptist leaps for joy. What else can he do? Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. John heard the word that Mary spoke and has faith. Even in the womb, he has faith not only to believe in the existence of God, but to believe that God is his Savior. Recall how John is the culmination of the entire Old Testament. So in his mouth is the mouth of Samuel and Moses and David and Elijah and Abraham and all the other prophets. His finger is the finger of all the prophets. His leap is the leap of all the prophets. For all the prophets prophesied concerning the Christ. All the prophets raised their finger with John to declare, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Agnus Dei, as we call it, summarizes the voice of the prophets. So this visitation is the coming together of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Elizabeth, with her old age, her former barrenness, her priestly husband, and her prophetic son, is an image of the old, aging Israel. Whereas Mary, with her youth, maternal virginity, and divine son, is an image of the new Israel. If Sarah, Abraham's wife, was the beginning of Israel, Elizabeth is the end. Finally, through her son, John, Israel will be brought across that baptismal river to rest in the true promised land, which is Christ. There, John will wash the Lord, the God of Israel, who visits his people with redemption. God has come, and John leaps for joy. God visits his people, and Mary sings, and Elizabeth proclaims. God has visited his people. Behind the pregnant veil is the Lord of hosts, the Ark of the Covenant. No longer covered with gold, but the one who reigns above heaven and earth. Not filled with stony tablets of the law, but the one who takes the law into his own flesh to fulfill it. Not filled with Aaron's budding staff, but the one who plants a dead tree on a mount called Calvary and there gives life to the nations. Not filled with manna, but whose flesh is the manna from heaven, from which a man may eat and so live forever. The visitation of God on this day is the coming together of the old and the new in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And creation is now changed. Nothing can remain the same, for God has entered creation. The barren rejoice. The infant leaps. The virgin sings. The blind see. The deaf hear. The mute speak. The dead are raised. And good news is preached to the poor. God has visited his people. The world will never be the same again. Restoration, sanctification, recreation, all in the flesh of Mary's Son. So none are barren. None are dead. None are mute or deaf or blind or lame, for God has visited. The new creation has come, and there is eternal joy, leaping in the womb of his mother. No longer confined to a womb that brings forth sin and death, but leaping, brought forth from the waters of holy baptism. Leaping like calves released from the stall, leaping like David before the Ark of the Covenant, leaping like the lame man following Peter and John into the temple, so we go with joy and gladness of heart to the temple of the Lord, which is the flesh of Christ. God has visited his people to redeem his people. So learn from Mary. We have a bad habit of demeaning and ignoring her because of what others have done to her in exalting her above what God has given. She does not take the place of God, so we do not pray to her, nor do we ask her to pray to us. Scripture has not commanded such things. But neither do we take the other extreme and ignore her and downplay her. She is saved in the same way as we are. Listen in her Magnificat as she calls God her Savior. Through faith, she is saved. But her vocation is greater than ours. As Scripture calls St. John the Baptist the greatest man born of woman, so Mary is the most blessed of women. Because her Son and her Son alone is God. So we give her the place that Scripture rightly gives her, and then we imitate her. Even as we prayed this very evening. We imitate her by imitating her faith. When a woman called out to Jesus in his ministry, "Blessed is the woman who bore you," Christ responded, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." We imitate Mary by believing God's word. She was the first to believe that God had visited his people in her womb. She was the first to believe that the new creation has come, that God is her Son, and that heaven and earth are restored. She is the first, but she is not the only one who believes these things. You share her faith. Believe this history recorded in sacred scripture. Believe also the forgiveness is found in her Son. Believe that her Son is the eternal God who is sacrificed for the world. Believe that there is life in his name. Believe that salvation, reconciliation, and peace with God come through his blood and his blood alone. Believe that there is rest in his wounds and freedom in his words. In other words, believe that God has visited you. He does not physically dwell within your body as he did with Mary, but he does dwell mystically in your body. His flesh is united to yours. His blood courses through your veins. A mother's life is wrapped up in her son's. His successes are hers. His sorrows are hers. And so your life is wrapped up in Christ's. Forever intertwined with his suffering, his death, his resurrection. Your history is his history, and his history belongs to you. His victory is yours, and your future is intermingled with his. So how could you ever make a wrong decision when it is done in faith in the Son of God? A sword may pierce your heart. Troubles and hardships and difficulties may come. But there will be joy, for your life is connected to his. God doesn't observe you from a distance, but he comes to visit you, to make his home in you, even as he had made his home in Mary's womb for 9 months. Or what do you think happens when he preaches his word to you? He's not simply giving you information, he is giving you himself, he who is the word made flesh. What do you think happens when you eat his body and drink his blood? He doesn't pass through you, his body remains in and with you. Indiscernible, indescribable, mystical, yes, but still corporal. God has visited you in word and at this altar so that you may leap and sing for joy. Blessed are you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.